evening, and welcome to Cheater in the Rude for this Thursday, March 24th.
24th of March. This is Jeff Chrysler, the cheater.
And this is Lee Papa, the author of the blog, The Rude Pundit. And we're coming to you from Progressive Radio Networks. And
are you really an author of a blog?
Does that make me a blogger?
Yeah, I always thought author was like book, which you happen to have a book also, but this isn't an extended commercial. It's just
No.
It's semantics time of day.
You know what, Jeff?
What?
I had a dream last night about you.
What?
I had this dream that you and I were driving around in a Cadillac.
Oh, not a Chrysler. Hello.
No.
Sorry.
See, that's his name. And there was car trouble. And we pulled into and you kept insisting that there was car trouble, even though the car wasn't running that badly. But you kept insisting that there was trouble with the car and that we had to go to a garage and get it checked. And so they checked the car, and they plugged into the thing that they use, jobbing machine, right? Which is the secret that all mechanics have now that prevents us from actually repairing
our 2000.
Exactly, and they found some minor thing that was wrong with the car. However, they said that it would cost more for them to fix it than they would get from the insurance that would cover it. So therefore, they figured, why should they bother fixing it? Because they wanted me to rent a car. Now, you kept insisting that I should get it repaired.
This is the most amazing dream I've heard of all day.
Oh, okay.
Would
you like me to just add? Okay, and then we...
Sex with strippers.
I was going to say, and then we had gay sex in the back of the car, but, if that
I would
worked.
Say at the beginning of the dream, it felt very much like you're getting infected by my periodic pessimism, that I'm convinced that on the road of life, I have some sort of engine trouble. But then I see that actually what happens is it's about the system of insurance and reimbursement and how in order to move forward in this world that we've created as a society, you have to cross all these rules when really we just want to drive, man. We just want to explore the open road. We don't want to be burdened by Libya and the Middle East, which is also Libya and the Midwest and Timpalenti and all these terrible things, but we are.
You know what the worst part of the dream was?
That you woke up and I wasn't there?
Well, yeah. But within the dream itself, it was that we decided to think about it, and we kept wandering around going to restaurants, and you kept saying you didn't want to eat there.
I'm not that Jewish. Okay. I'm not. Well, I do like the idea that we just decided not to deal with it, because I kind of feel like that's what we're doing as a country, everyone. We're deciding just not to. We're just punting. We're moving everything down the road. Well, it's going to be okay eventually.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to, speaking of your yawn earlier, I'd like to introduce you to somebody. I'd like to introduce you to somebody who made some news this week. And let's listen to his exciting, exciting announcement.
I grew up a few miles from here. And back then, it was home to some of the world's largest stockyards and meatpacking plants. But when those plants shut down, so did a big part of the spirit and the soul of my hometown. At a young age, I saw up close the face of challenge, the face of hardship, and the face of job loss. Over the last year, I've traveled to nearly every state in the country.
Do you know
who it
is yet?
And I know many Americans are feeling that way today. I know that feeling.
It's Mr. Hopes and Dreams.
Oh, God, but listen to that music.
It's Michael Bay.
We know what we need to do. Grow jobs. Limit government
spending. Grow jobs. Just put job seeds in the ground, man.
We need to encourage the dreamers and innovators.
Haley Barber?
Business owners, the hard workers.
No, he doesn't sound like he's like
country's history.
Foghorn Leghorn gargling balls.
The freedom to work hard and get ahead.
Rick Santorum.
No.
For the last 8 years.
More dynamic than Rick Santorum?
Here in Minnesota.
If that's possible.
We proved we can restore
it's Minnesota.
In America. It takes fortitude. It takes
unwavering
faith
Adam
and
Apple.
Conviction in the principle that
Apple.
Made
Adam's
this
Apple.
Country great. This country was founded on...
All right, let's not play the whole thing.
No, it's almost over. It's almost... No, no. Wait for it.
Government. Oh! This is our country.
Take it back! Take
our
back the government.
Created it. Americans embraced
Wasn't he part of the government?
Ronald Reagan personified
He was a governor.
Lincoln stood courageously to protect.
Oh, we missed the part where he rattles off Founding Fathers Ronald Reagan.
To run for president of the United States.
Did you get that?
Join the team and together we'll restore America.
Isn't that just exactly how exciting he is? He has his swelling music. And in the end, we will form an exploratory committee.
That's it. That's it. Do you know who it was?
Tell me.
It was Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty. Yeah. And, you know, you can't spell yawn. You can't spell Pawlenty without yawn.
T-Paw, as he's known in the hood.
He likes to be called T-Paw. Do you know anything about him?
I don't know a lot about him. Can you tell me a little about what he's done in the past? Why we should care? Besides the fact that he's from Minnesota, which is arguably now the greatest state for politicians. They had Wellstone in Minnesota.
Yeah, yeah.
And they got Franken, which are great. They've also had Jesse Ventura and Michelle Bachmann and Tim Pawlenty.
Well, I mean, Bachmann, of course, is Mrs. Excitement, but Ventura, you know, Tim Pawlenty, he didn't like Jesse the Body Ventura. He, in 1999, when he was the Minnesota House Majority Leader, he said when Jesse Ventura went back to the wrestling ring, "I think there's room in politics for some good humor and fun, but I think this really crossed a line. You had to watch it to understand just how low this thing has sunk. The degradation of women, the violence, the rituals, the swearing." So this is a guy that, you know, obviously has, really cares about women and about degradation and, you know,
he didn't mind the sweaty guys wrestling, though.
No, I think that's actually the bonus part of it.
I can see a Pawlenty Santorum ticket. I'm just not sure who's the top.
Yeah, and this guy is so strong. He's got such a backbone that, that he, when he was going to run for Senate in 2001, Karl Rove and Dick Cheney called him up and said, "Don't run now. Don't run, Tim. We want Norm Coleman to run."
Another dynamo.
Yes, and so he bravely stepped down from running for the Senate and listen to Karl Rove and Dick Cheney.
As all good, forward-thinking Americans should.
What? No, no, that was way too early on that.
That was the beating the dead horse. We'll get to that. Tell me some about what Tim Pawlenty has done as an actual governing
person. Well, first
person.
Of all, you should know that the first time he won, it was a four-way race for governor, and he won with an overwhelming majority of 44.4%.
That it makes sense because he's not quite half as human as most people.
Yes, and then he was so popular that there was a three-way race in 2006, reelected with 46.7% of the vote.
Hey, if you think about it, he improved whatever 2% of 44 is. 4% he improved over the time.
And just to let you know, he's not just a boring guy with Scott Walker inbred eyes, but he's also kind of vile in his own way. In 2008, they had the big Mississippi River Bridge collapse in Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
He vetoed a 7.5 cent a gallon state gas tax to pay for bridge and highway repair.
Because rich people have helicopters.
Yes, and they can get over the bridges, and they can look at the bodies that are floating in the river as they rise above.
That's actually part of the new platform, literally the platform of the Republican Party, to stand on people that can't afford helicopters.
Well, but he's also a family values guy.
How so?
He pardoned a convicted child molester because when his victim became old enough to consent, they got married.
Oh, well, I'm sure that's a healthy marriage.
Yes, yes. I think it's beautiful. I think it totally abrogates the crimes.
That's why he pardoned them, because they got married later.
Yes. Because it was love, obviously. It wasn't just manipulation of a child and sexual molestation.
How did so he pardoned? Were they in jail when they decided to get married?
Well, they weren't. She was a victim.
Okay, well, that's just very odd.
Just last year, to show how much he respects women, after criticizing Jesse Ventura for it, he declared April Abortion Recovery Month.
Wait. Abortion Recovery Month? Like, I'm not a medical doctor. I'm a lot of types of doctors, but not a medical one. I don't think you can recover from an abortion. Like, am I wrong about that? Like, isn't that one of those conditions that you don't recover from?
Well, I think you walk around the rest of your life with a coat hanger in your head, but otherwise...
That's terrible.
Yeah, sorry.
But, you know, it's a fundamental misunderstanding of the human condition. Because I don't think Plenty is a human, and that's why he doesn't, like, of all things, he is.
Sorry, I'm talking about Plenty, and it just,
Every time you say Plenty. You know what I was asking you the other day? Do you, as a progressive type person who realizes Obama is the lesser of most evils out there right now, do you cheer for the worst, most comical Republican candidate to make it for entertainment value, or do you fight against that person out of fear that they might actually break through to win the general election?
Well, I don't think that anybody has a chance against Obama. I think you have to put it this way. When it comes down to elections, it really, I think for president, and this is just my analysis as a pundit, you know, and this is what we do as pundits,
right.
I think it really matters who do you want to bone. If you want to bone the candidate, then you will elect them. Think about it. Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Bill Clinton, George Bush Sr.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Bob Dole, Bill Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See the way this is going? Now, this was a tough one, and America was evenly divided. George Bush and Al Gore. Now, the Supreme Court decided it would rather bone George Bush. So, there you go. Thus, we have it. And the same thing, John Kerry, George Bush, Obama, McCain.
Well, by the way, Kerry, in comparison to Plenty, is a dynamic individual. I understand what you're saying about Obama, probably, like, it's going to be tough to beat him, but who are the governors running the states of Ohio and Florida? I mean, ultimately, isn't it all going to come down to those big states again? Who are the people controlling how the votes are counted in those states?
But
so, yes, I agree. Right now, on paper, Obama will wipe anybody away because hopefully Americans aren't that dumb.
No. Americans are that dumb. But they're so dumb that all they think is, you know what? I really want to have sex with that guy. And I think it goes across gender, across sexual orientation, across races. They want to have sex with the guy.
Okay, but what if the candidate on the other side is the guy from the Old Spice commercials?
Oh, damn, man. I don't know, because you know what? I kind of want to fuck the guy from the Old Spice commercials.
Well, he'd be clean. What else is happening? Anything else with Tim Pawlenty we should talk about? He's not going to be around for long.
No,
he's a flicker in our news cycle.
Oh, I don't know. George Will likes him.
Well, George Will's time is come and gone.
Yeah.
He likes baseball still, right?
George
Will? Okay, I'll give him that.
You know what I think? I think right now, Matt, we need a whoosh. That's a transitional whoosh.
Wow. There's a little tail at the end of that whoosh.
There is. It's a Nike whoosh.
What are we going now? Oh, are we going to talk about... Can we finally talk about Raj Rajaratnam and the Galileo trial?
God damn. Jeff, are you going to beat that dead horse?
Yes, I'm going to beat that dead horse.
Really? Really? I got that effect just for you.
I think. Okay. Look, I know we don't. I don't want to get into nitty gritty details, but this is important, the Galleon trial, because no one has been held accountable for the collapse of the financial system. There was a movie, Inside Job. The guy's Oscar acceptance speech pointed that out. And Raj Rajaratnam, while not causing the collapse, at least what's going on trial is this system of insider trading, this system of having information. And it goes to the fact that whether it's in the financial industry or throughout our country, information is ultimately what the power is about. You know, the free market, the idea of free market in all senses, relies upon free and available and equally distributed information so that people on a simple basis know what the price of something is if you look at supply and demand. But information isn't available, and I have a grand conspiracy theory that I haven't yet formulated completely, but part of the fact that we're not funding education, we're devaluing teachers, is because we have the powers that be don't want everyone to be educated. They don't want to have them know information. There's a movement for disinformation. And when you look back at Raj Rajaratnam, the Galleon trial, the insider trading, it's on its basis what the financial markets are about. Financial marketplace is not about equal people, equal actors trading information. It's about those that have a tiny little tidbit of advantage
and those that are already in power getting more power through that advantage and more money through that advantage. And it's a shame. And even if you look at some other cheating going on, Barry Bonds, his trial, they just picked a jury. He's going on trial. And again, it's about information. Who did he, how, what did he know when, and who knew what he knew? And it's all information. And in a way, as we evolve through the internet to just being these sentient beings that lay in cocoons covered in ooze and communicate and interact only through spatial objects, the information will be key. I was just checking to see if you're listening.
Are you ready? Are you done with that dead horse? Because that fucker's dead.
No, it's important. It's not dead.
It is important. It is important. You know, when you talk about the financial meltdown,
mm-hmm.
It reminds. I mean, you know, we've been hearing about meltdown in other terms. Do you see a way of linking those two, the financial meltdown and the nuclear meltdown, say, in?
Well, there is maybe a comparison. Someone, I think there was a Times column touched on this a little. The idea that both the financial meltdown and the nuclear meltdown were driven by sort of an overabundance of a commodity, whether it was, the markets are always going to go up, housing prices are always go up, or, you know, an overabundance reliance on nuclear energy, and, we can keep building and everything's going to be fine. And there was just sort of this blissful ignorance that everything's going to be fine. We can keep relying on these things. We can keep building and gathering more and more and more of these things, whether it's derivatives and stocks or whether it's nuclear power, and have just minor safeguards, you know, whether it's seawalls or impotent SEC. And don't worry about it. Keep getting more and more and more and more until it all just crashed down upon us. And it should be a warning for all of us in all areas. And in that sense, I look back and I step and I look and I see that what is it that America has an abundance of? What is still our strength? Crazy celebrities.
Oh,
Lohan,
yeah.
Sheen, Kardashians, crazy worthless celebrities. That is what we produce, and no one seems to think there's a danger there. We think, we can just keep building it up and building it up, having more and more crazy people doing crazier and crazier things. Let's glorify them. Let's have them have videos. Let's have them be in court. All these things. We don't think there's a danger, but eventually the wave and the power and the unrelenting march forward of the celebrity idiot culture is going to come crashing down on us, and I don't know how.
Do you believe it's going to drag us down? Say it'll be a kind of Hollywood syndrome where things just melt through to destroy the world in a hole that is created in Hollywood.
Well, what would happen if all of Hollywood melted the core down through to the other side? What's on the opposite side of the planet from Hollywood?
We'll go vaguely China-ish.
Is it China? Or is it Australia? No, it's because Australia would have
Australia,
to be
Australia, wow.
I just want to visit there. Well, you know what? Maybe there can be an exchange program. We can do the old China syndrome reverse for.
Yeah. You know, speaking of meltdowns, Ann Coulter was on had a column last week that dealt with radiation, and she was interviewed about it on Fox News's The O'Reilly Factor. You want to hear a little something of that?
Do I?
How could you not?
And tonight, Ann Coulter has a new column out today about the nuke situation in Japan, and here she is. The column is entitled "A Glowing Report on Radiation." Glowing radiation, very, very good.
Snap.
But you are not down on radiation poisoning.
Well, it's not me. I'm citing a stunning number of physicists, and from the New York Times and the Times of London, there's a growing body of evidence that radiation in excess of what the government says are the minimum amounts right. You should be exposed to are actually good for you and reduce cases of cancer. Science section, for example,
okay.
A few years
it's like automatic radiation therapy.
Stop the playback. A couple of points about this. First of all, Ann Coulter does know about the benefits of radiation because it gave her an Adam's apple and destroyed her logic sensor. But this actually bothers the cancer idea bothers me because my father is a high energy physicist, and one project he worked on with I think it was USF at University.
Wait, are you telling the truth right now?
Yeah, I am.
Your dad's a high energy physicist.
Yeah, he was in the.
What the hell happened to you? I mean, are you like the result of his experiments?
Probably. This is on a side note. I want to get back to the cancer treatment, but my dad is actually in the Guinness World Book of Records. This is true for looking for the world's fastest particle, something called the tachyon. He designed an experiment for it. They never found. I find great comfort and discomfort in the idea that my father was in the Guinness World Book Records for looking really hard for something but not finding it. I find that's kind of what I'm about. I'm looking really hard for something.
Wait, what's the record? We'll get back to
it. It was under the record was Fastest Particle, but it was it described how he and his partner designed a test to look for it, and therefore that's what I am bound to. I'm not looking for the fastest particle. I'm looking for meaning and purpose and a way out of something, and I'm just going to be looking for it forever until I'm famous for my failure to find it.
Wow. You know what? I'm more impressed with you than I think I was before.
Yeah, I've wasted a lot of potential. I'm sort of like our nuclear program.
And speaking of, why don't we get back to...
Okay,
so your dad,
the point is...
Your dad is glowing with radiation.
It's not just... Everybody, it's not just... If you have cancer, stand in front of a melting nuclear power plant. Like, you have to focus it. Like, the project he was working on was helping people focus X-rays and radiation into a very specific area to take care of cancerous tumor. I mean, this is what do you call the chemotherapy? I mean, it's like the spreading of the ignorance and disinformation is... Speaking of which, you know, Sarah Palin is now traveling to Israel.
Is she? Was she there for Purim?
She was. She was playing the evil person.
Well, she was.
There's always an evil person.
I thought she'd dress as a bear for Purim.
You mean a gay man with hair?
No. I mean a mama grizzly.
Oh, yeah. She is.
Yeah, she was just in India, too.
You think she would know, but like if she's looking to find an audience of people that don't know what a worthless piece of something she is, she wouldn't go to Israel. They know. They can smell a fraud a mile away.
Yeah, but you know what? You know, like all conservatives, she friggin' loves Israel. I mean, Israel is...
Because she wants the Armageddon. She wants whatever it's the end days to come where everybody goes back to Israel.
Yeah, that's the Revelations thing where everybody goes to Israel and, I don't know, the devil has a massive bris or something. I don't know.
We should have her look for a cask of Amontillado. I love that story.
The cask of Amontillado? Maybe you should learn to pronounce the damn story.
No, I keep saying Amontillado.
Yeah,
I don't know what that is.
At least you're not saying armadillo. But while she was in India, you know, she took questions from the press and an audience there. And she never really does that. She never does that spontaneously. And she was asked, why did she lose the election, or why did McCain-Palin ticket lose in 2008? And her answer was, I wasn't the top of the ticket.
That's why... So is she implying that if she had been the top of the ticket, they would have won?
I think she's implying that she wanted to be on top of McCain, yes.
Okay, I need to not... think about that.
But no, I want that image in your head. I want the image in your head right now.
Can we agree?
Sarah Palin on John McCain's lap just
no, stop. Can I tell you,
no,
Sarah Palin's not hot. Can we agree that?
Legs open on top of McCain.
Please stop.
And
I want to just stop.
And McCain just wondering,
is this really what a vice presidential candidate
should be doing? And then getting laid good and so hard by Sarah Palin that eventually
he gives up and says, I will be your vice president.
I will be vice. You are the president because you can fuck me so hard.
You're right. That is actually an excellent platform to run on in 2012.
Yes.
Everything that we just said.
Yeah, exactly.
Compared to, like, who is she hot? Maybe, like, Madeleine Albright, she's hot. Maybe, what was the name of that reporter, the one that recently left the front row? Sarah Palin's not hot. Am I right?
I don't believe that this is about her hotness. What is wrong? You are degrading Sarah Palin by reducing her to...
Yes.
I was at least talking about some kind of ability. You were just talking about, you know, crass looks.
Speaking of crass looks, can we go to a little bit of the benefits of Obama's health care?
Sure.
There was a story of a gentleman whose life was changed because of the health care bill. We don't hear these stories. We just hear about the hardship faced by insurance companies that can't raise their rates 85% arbitrarily. But you were telling me about a story of a Texas guy.
Yeah, this guy in Texas who was horribly disfigured by a power line accident. I'm getting this from the AP story about him. Always give credit. And he is getting a face transplant. He's getting a new nose, new lips, skin, muscle, nerves, all from an unidentified dead person. And the operation itself is being paid for by the U.S. military because it helps in their research. And he has actually benefited. He gets to have the surgery because of a change in the federal health care law under President Obama.
Not surprising, Obama did use face transplants earlier to change himself from a Kenyan Muslim to Hawaiian.
Yes. And so because of the healthcare law, this Dallas Weens is the name of the man. He is he's 25 years old. Well, he gets to be on his parents' healthcare now. And has health insurance, and he will be able to get the drugs that he needs to prevent him from rejecting his face. In other words, insurance companies wanted to reject this guy getting a face transplant so that his daughter could touch his face. I mean, he'll still be blind.
You know, isn't that selfish? Like, why should my tax dollars go to helping this guy live a fruitful life that he might contribute to society, when instead we could just take this guy for the same amount of money, put him in a plane, and drop him on Libya?
Let me just take a look here, and let me see what this guy looks like. Like, oh my God! Holy shit! Why would you do anything to deny this guy a face transplant? Oh my God! Oh, Jesus God! No. You know what? I want this guy to get every operation he can. You know what? You know how much that plane in Libya cost?
$100 million.
$100 million.
Let's give this guy a whole new thing.
Give this guy $100 million.
Give him a hologram machine.
Yes.
Let's get him into that fantasy you had with Palin and McCain a second ago.
Yeah, really? You want to? You want to get into it with him and his trach tube? Is that really what you're after? God, you are sick.
Yeah, a little bit. I guess mostly because I've been working with you for a few weeks now here on Cheater on the Root on Progressive Radio Network. The face transplant guy is an inspiration to all of us, and we touched on something that we haven't really talked about, and that was the Libya thing. Do we have time to talk about Libya?
Matt, how are we doing time-wise?
Well, we can sum up Libya in 3 minutes. So we're bombing Libya, good or bad?
Bad.
Okay, fair enough. I agree. Bad, although I approve of if we got to do it, that we're doing it this way instead of the old gung-ho way. We actually got the Arab League to support us. But
yeah,
I
but
still
they're getting a little shaky on it. No, yeah. No. It's. Why do we need another war? There's no benefit from this. No. We were just arguing against it. The United States was arguing against it just a week ago.
Yeah. Well, maybe next week we'll talk about how when I studied the Russian studies in the Soviet Union, it dawned on me how much it's not always about us.
Yes, you're right. So we're going to wrap up this episode of Cheater in the Rude. But before we go, Jeff,
I'm going to be at, this is on Thursday. This is a pre-record, by the way, on a Tuesday, in case something happens.
Right, if like Gaddafi ends up pulling
sleeping
a nuke or
Palin.
Something, then yeah, or sleeping with Palin, or with the guy with no face.
Friday and Saturday, I will be at Pioneer Comedy in Reno. Sunday, I will be at Arizona State University in Phoenix. They're downtown there. I'm actually really excited for that. I'm supporting a Democratic group there. I'm going to help rally people. It's kind of rough going in Phoenix. And then I've got some shows coming up in New York, and I've always got my book, and you've got your book. And
yes, the book. And, in fact, all of those fun facts about Tim Pawlenty come from The Rude Pundit's Almanac, available from OR Books at orbooks.com. And you can order both ebook copies and good old-fashioned paperbacks.
And we'll throw some links to some of the stuff we talked about on our Facebook page, Cheater
See,
and the Rude.
That's funny because we talked about a guy without a face. and also you can follow us both on Twitter at Jeff Chrysler, at Rude Pundit.
This has been a Cheater on the Rude every Thursday, 8 p.m. on Progressive Radio Network.
And we're going to go to the end song.